Hey, it's me, Gavin Crawford. Every week, I'll quiz comedians about the headlines. Do you worry about kids being exposed to drag?
I grew up going to see men in dresses singing every Sunday and we had to give them money, okay? I wish they were singing show tunes and had some makeup and their hair done, right? It would have been way better.
If the news has you screaming into the void, we can help with that. Because News is available on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
All right, come on in, have a seat. It is the end of the week, and it's a very special edition of the Group Chat. Halifax is a city we know for the incredible amount of culture that comes out of this place. But today on the podcast, what happens when artists struggle to thrive here? I'm Alameen Abdul Mahmoud, and this is Commotion. Listen, Halifax is a city with this amazing reputation for being a massive cultural center. You got all these films and TV productions shooting here. There's a great theater scene, and of course, music is everywhere. But here's the thing. It is getting harder and harder to make ends meet, and artists are moving further away, which makes you wonder, when they leave, what kind of city do they leave behind? And maybe there's a lesson in all of this for other places, because who knows, a city that makes life a little easier for its artists might just be pretty good at making it, you know, a better place for everyone to live. Earlier this week, I was in Halifax for the 2024 Junos, and when I was there, I sat down with four people who are grappling with all of this. Adam Baldwin is a singer-songwriter who lives about 40 minutes up the coast from Halifax. Tara Thorne is a filmmaker who lives in the city's north end. And Abba Amukwandu is a comedian. She's a cast member on This Hour Has 22 Minutes, which films in Halifax. She's actually originally from Brampton, Ontario, but she lives in Halifax for half the year. And Maggie Andrew is a musician from Waverley, near Halifax. She performed, get this, 3 gigs over the weekend, including one of the Junos after party in like literally the wee hours of the morning we sat down to record this conversation. Good morning, everyone. But a very special good morning to Maggie because, oh my God, you must be so tired. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
How's it going, everyone?
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. I'm so excited to do this. Adam, listen, before we get into all these things that we're going to talk about today, what might be working against you as an artist who's decided to, you know, stay rooted in this place, I want to ask you, why is Nova Scotia the place that you need to be to make the music that you make?
For a couple of reasons. I am from here. I think I generally understand the people here, so I can write about them because I'm around them all the time.
Yeah.
And I hear their stories, you know, when I'm parked on a bar stool or whatever, listen and I understand where those stories are coming from.
Yeah.
The other reason is because I have 2 children and I spend half my year last year on the road and I need all the family around that I can have to help out with my partner, Jesse, and help look after the kids when I'm when I'm slugging it out.
I gotta tell you, this is one of those like silly, fun things in life, but sometimes you hear a song that your parent plays when you're a little kid, and you go, "This everybody in the world knows this song because my parent plays this song." And my daughter has that relationship with your song, Lighthouse and Little Lorraine. I think
your 7-year-old daughter.
Yeah, my 7-year-old. And here's the thing.
To be clear, this song about drug trafficking and murder. That one.
We've not gotten to the part. We have a policy in the car, which is where she hears most of these songs, where if she hears a song, she's like, "I don't know what's going on here." She can ask at any point and go, "Hey, what is this song about?"
Yeah.
And I have to stop the music and explain it to her until she understands. It hasn't come up with Lighthouse and Little Lorraine, so I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because that day is going to be a tough day in the
office. That's a long conversation in that car, sir.
It's like, well, all right. Where shall we begin with this one? Maggie, you grew up just outside Halifax in Waverley, but you went to L.A. to get your music career sort of off the ground and came back here during the pandemic. You put out a bunch of singles here. You recorded an album here, which is going to be out in a couple of months. As someone, you know, at the start of their career right now, how would you describe the musical community in this place as a place to grow from?
It's really great. Honestly, since coming back at the end of 2020 because of the pandemic, I wasn't really sure where I would find my footing in Nova Scotia and in a community. I I was really lucky, and I found literally the best friends I've ever had in my entire life in the musical community here. And I feel a lot of support from, especially just this past weekend with the Junos. It's like I feel so much support from like the Juno committee and everybody who's here. It's really the community. It's like all I've heard is like sense of community, and that's what I find here, and that's what I found. And I'm like, I'm so tight with everybody, and I really am appreciative. I love that so much.
Well, what I like about the panel that we have here is that, like, you guys, and by you guys I mean Maggie and Adam, you guys make very different types of music, and yet you're still sort of both in the same community. What's that relationship like?
We're buds, man. Yeah. I don't care what kind of music you make. I just just be a good hang.
I mean, yeah, like I will say, of course, we both do something very different, but. Yeah. Adam's always looked out for me. Like, he's always just been a bud. Like, it's never like competition or anything. It's just like we are all trying to make something and do something special and make art, as long as you have like a sounding board and people who care about what you're doing, care about what you're trying to say. It's like, it's really, really awesome.
I love that. Abba, you spend half your year here, which is, that's this hour is 22 minutes. That's when you guys are in production. How would you characterize the comedy scene that you found here when you got here 3 years ago, was it?
Yes, yeah. I got here 3 years ago, and that was like peak lockdown. So I had to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then when I got out, it was like just I hit the ground running with the actual show. And I didn't really see what the comedy scene was like until the year after when I became a permanent cast member.
Yeah.
And it's really robust. Like, there's a really great scene going. Travis Lindsay runs a lot of shows, as well as Andrew Neville. Travis Lindsay is actually going to be on Canada's Got Talent, which I'm really excited for.
Hey.
And it's huge news. But the comedy scene is also like really run a lot by a lot of like members of 22 Minutes. A lot of the writers host shows and get people out. A lot of stuff at Good Robot.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, this goes for all industries in Canada. Like, you really have to get it out the mud here. You have to be way better than an American comedian or songwriter or artist to have a career. So,
do you mean here in Canada, or do you mean here in specifically in Halifax?
I mean here specifically in Halifax.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I think you need to be really good, because you'll be playing for all types of rooms. Yeah. I've done rooms before where I'm like, okay, expecting like a younger crowd, and then I show up and it's like people's grandparents, and I'm like, do they know what I'm talking about?
Can I make these references?
I'm like referencing like black hair things, like edges, and they think I'm talking about a literal edge of a cliff or something.
It's not gonna work.
But there's a really robust scene. I think people are really great here.
I think you need like some cheers bits, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
about the show.
The show cheers.
Yeah, just because it hits all demographics. I mean, it's a four quadrant strategy.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying here.
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Willa Paskin, the host of Decoder Ring, Slate's podcast about cracking cultural mysteries. On Decoder Ring, we dive down rabbit holes and obsessively explore questions hiding in plain sight. Like, why has slow dancing gone out of style? And when did we all become obsessed with hydration? And where did the word mullet, you know, to describe a hairstyle, come from? That's Decoder Ring, named one of the best podcasts of 2023 by the New York Times. Listen to new episodes every 2 weeks and make sure to follow us so you never miss one.
If folks are just joining us, my name is Al-Amin Abdul-Mahmoud. This is Commotion, and we are coming at you from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I'm here with Abba Abankwando, musicians Adam Baldwin and Maggie Andrew, and Tara Thorne. Tara, when we talk about the reputation that Halifax has as a great city for the arts, what are the examples that come to mind for you as this city as a center for the arts? Like the Robert Eggers movie, The Lighthouse, which was shot here. Robert Pattinson in the house. That's huge. You know, what are other types of examples like that happening in the city?
Yeah, I remember Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe being at the Stillwell on Barrington, and people losing their minds. But actually, they were Yarmouth.
I would lose my mind anytime.
There's a meme of Willem Dafoe like holding cereal at the grocery store in Yarmouth that comes up on Twitter, and he's just like smiling.
Incredible.
I think of people like Hannah Moscovich, who's a huge playwright who got her start in Toronto, but she lives on my street in the North End. Yeah. And she's got a play opening at the Bus Stop, actually, in April. I think of someone like Jason Eisner, who splits his time between Halifax and L.A., but he's like started making movies in Dartmouth and still does. His last film was called Kids vs. Aliens. I think of someone like Ashley McKenzie, who actually lives in Meat Cove, Cape Breton. Very, very cool, like New York Film Festival filmmaker. And I think of someone like Ria May, who kind of is a self-made pop star, who also briefly did the Toronto Game, but is now like here with her young family and being a pop star from Halifax.
So I'm going to read something for you. It's from the Discover Halifax website. It's about the North End where you live. And the quote is this: Halifax North End is a bustling hub of culture, creativity, renowned for its diverse art scene, award-winning dining, lively nightlife. Visitors are immediately struck by laid-back artistic energy of the area. And it goes on. However, I feel like living in it and trying to like sort of make a life and make ends meet, sometimes that feels a little bit different than the descriptions that end up on the website like this. So what do you make of the distance between how the city talks about itself and also the reality of making art here?
I mean, the reality, and I think Maggie and Annika both speak to this too, is that there's no – that funding is always a problem. It's more and more expensive to live here, and it's hard to just like kind of find the capital to get your career going if you also have to have, you know, like a day job or whatever. So if someone introduces me to thing, they're like, she's a filmmaker. She wrote a book. She has a band. She had a podcast. I'm like, if one of those things was lucrative, I wouldn't have to do them all.
I don't want to be a multi-hyphenate.
I really don't.
I just want one thing.
I'm exhausted. It means I have 100 bosses. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Well, Adam was going to say, like, you said that this place is really rich for inspiration in terms of like making art about living here, but also some stuff is working against you. You have to sort of go like, I can't, I'm not going to live in the city. I have to like move a little bit outside of it.
Yeah, I just actually today on Facebook saw that 12 years ago I moved to Dartmouth from Halifax because the rent was cheaper over here. I can't afford to live in Dartmouth anymore.
Yes.
We made it cool over there and now there's nice restaurants and so I had to go. So I'm 40 minutes out. There's no places for restaurants at where I am now, so I think I'll be able to stay for a while. everybody across this country has had barriers put in place in front of them, certainly over the last 4 years. Yeah. Everything has gotten more expensive. Venues are harder to keep the doors open in those places.
Venues, right? Yeah.
Because of whatever inflation is, which is sort of kind of feels like it's not a real thing. It's just a guy that decided things he wanted more money. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like to me. I'm just a lowly songwriter, but I got irons in the fire aside from songwriting. I have to keep a roof over my head. I do voiceover commercials for Discover Halifax. You just read. I did that.
Yeah.
You know, I got two kids that I refuse to let down.
Yeah.
So we all sort of wind up doing some crazy things that I never imagined being the voice on a tourism commercial, considering the record I just wrote. It's all about horrible people and places in Nova Scotia. Well, here we are.
Adam, if I had your voice, I'd do voiceover work for everything. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll accept it. Maggie, I think there is this idea out there that, like, to quote-unquote make it, you have to move to the big city. You know, you've had this really big year in Halifax. I hear L.A. is pulling you back out. Do you want to talk about that? About the decision to leave?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just feel like it's very, like, comfy here, you know, with my friends, and I have a big community here. But I find if you stay and you're comfortable, then you aren't able to grow. So you got to take a risk. You got to do the thing that's going to put you in a situation where you have to struggle for a second and then you figure it out. So anyway, LA, just like, I like the hustle and bustle. I love fast pace. I like getting things done. I like working fast, and like music is like do or die. So it's really like vital to me that I do it to the best of my ability and I get it done. And also, I was born here. I'm from Nova Scotia, so, and I'm young, and like the world is out there. So for me personally to just stay here for my whole life doesn't make sense for me. I feel like I would want to leave. It's like I want to put my city on the map. Like I'm going to put Waverly on the map. Everyone's going to know about it. there are a lot of opportunities in the city that I've had, and I've had great success from them, which is why now going back to LA is a lot more possible than it was at the beginning of when I came back to Nova Scotia. It's like those opportunities set me up so that I can do this.
I think like that's the thing that comes to mind when people think about like what's available to them if they move to a Los Angeles or New York. Is there a part of you that wrestles with that decision, the idea that like in order for your career to progress the way that you want it to progress, it can't actually happen here? Like does a part of you go, you know what, I wish it was possible from here, but it's just not?
What I will say is that can't doesn't exist to me. I came back here not by choice. It happened, and I was happy to come home, obviously, during that time.
Yeah.
But even just going there, it's like I'll always leave and come back.
Right.
I'm never going to exit the province and be like, never coming back to Nova Scotia again.
It's
like,
home.
This is where I'm from. My family's here. It's like my mom is here, and she's at all my shows in the front row wearing my T-shirt, singing these words. And I'm like, that's like, I'd love that for her.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like now I want to go and do the other things and just keep making the humans who have seen me here proud and – yeah. Get out.
I have to imagine that the same kind of idea is related in terms of comedy because
absolutely,
you know, you're not originally from here.
No.
You moved here for the job. Like that's a, you know, that's a part of like doing the work that you do.
Exactly.
Does a part of you sort of struggle with it, with being in a different place from where like the Toronto comedy community is, for example?
Oh, absolutely. I have such FOMO.
Yeah.
Especially because like when I go back to Toronto, everyone's like, so you live in Halifax now? And I'm like, no, please ask me to be on your show still. I'm still here in the summer.
I can still come back.
I can still come back.
Yeah.
But it is really such a big shift
because
you have to get used to a new like social hub, a new lifestyle, a new group of, a new style of comedy too. Like the East Coast comedy is very different from Toronto comedy.
Sure.
And I've definitely gotten a crash course in that type of culture, working on the show, but also doing shows outside of 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much agree with what you said, Maggie, where it's like, as much as I'd love to stay comfortable and be in Toronto, the work was in Halifax. And now I've discovered Halifax. And as great as Halifax is, eventually, you know, if I want my career to progress in the way that I'd like it to, I have to move somewhere else. Again, most likely LA or New York. But it's nice knowing that like the hub of Toronto, the hub of Halifax, will always be here and continues to grow.
Oh, what you guys are kind of outlining is a natural tension, I think. I want to put this to you, Adam. The idea that in order to make art, some people feel like you have to be from a place and make your art from that place as a vehicle of expressing being from that place. And then with the tools that we have right now, particularly with technology, the way that we have sort of like TikTok available to us or YouTube available to us, maybe place starts to matter a little bit less. What's your relationship with place here? Because could you make the music that you make if you live somewhere else?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know why.
Okay.
I think
let's work it through.
Yeah, we can talk about this.
Yes.
Let's figure this out,
Baldwin. Yeah.
I think I've chosen, you know, I will stay here. I can't write Nova Scotia folk songs forever. I'll just lose interest, frankly.
Yeah.
But I think that I made a choice to write about the people that I understand, and those are the people from here. If you take me to Toronto, I get very, very uncomfortable very, very quickly.
Yeah. Some of us are not that bad, but I take your point.
No, you guys are just fine. It's got nothing to do with Toronto people. It's the pace of it. And what Maggie describes L.A. as, I wanted to die when she was explaining that. I was like, I don't want nothing to do with that at all. I prefer the pace to be much slower.
Yeah.
That's the way my brain works. You just mentioned TikTok, and I can't even handle that part of the internet because it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts my head.
Yeah, you're literally just like, I process, you so process your art differently.
The pace of life here, I think, is what allows me to write the songs that I write because I can take my time with them.
Yeah. Tara, I feel like the thing that we're losing is the muscle of being specific. And I think like something that I feel like the internet has introduced us to is a possibility of making something for a community that will find it, but that community is not connected by place. It's maybe connected by aesthetic or idea or philosophy, but it's not place. And we sort of start to see – the notion of place and the importance of place sort of lose its centrality in making art. What do you make of that shift as you sort of struggle to for yourself to go like, when I express something, I actually want it to be an expression of myself, but also of the place that I'm making it from.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good question. You know, my first film is called Compulses, and it's about a lesbian vigilante who beats up abusive hipster men at night.
Incredible.
Coming to a theater near you this summer.
Ready.
We never ever say Halifax. I make the actors speak with American accents.
Yeah.
And that's because I want it to appeal to a broader audience.
Sure.
Because in America they go, "What's Canada? We don't care." But if you are from, if you saw that movie when people saw it at the film festival here, they're like, "This is one of the most Halifax movies I've ever seen," because it was all shot in the North End. I walked to every location from my house.
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of band t-shirts in it and like the soundtrack's all local. So I think there's a way to, and I also, you know, and I talk about this with my filmmaking friends all the time. It's like, I don't have any ambition to be like a Marvel director or like a franchise director. So it's like, to be a Canadian film director is a very weird kind of vibe.
Sure.
What I would love to do, and I'm not comparing myself to John Waters, but I would love
to. You are now. Get into it,
but
buddy.
You know how John Waters makes, like, Baltimore movies.
Incredibly Baltimore
right?
movies.
Incredibly Baltimore with movie stars. That is what I would like to progress to. It's like, I still want to make my small little talky gay movies, but here, and then just, like, grow them from here. And maybe that we don't say Halifax, we don't say Dartmouth in them, but they're instantly identifiable as that.
I struggle with this, particularly with comedy, Abba, because I feel like a very strong part of the way that comedians try to market themselves is you just see, sorry to trigger you again, Adam, by saying the word TikTok. I know, I'm going to do it again. But a lot of sort of like the new generation of TikTok comedians, they're making jokes that are completely divorced from place, it feels
like. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I never go on TikTok.
Okay. All right. Wow. This is the anti-TikTok panel. Got it. Not you, man.
No, I'm always scrolling through, but like I kind of have fallen off with making videos because it is a thing where internet comedy is a geographical location in and of itself now.
Yeah.
Like there's kind of even like an accent that comes along with internet comedy. I don't know if you ever see those TikToks and you're like, this is a voice that's so Twitter. It's kind of annoying.
It's 100%.
Like,
totally.
Front-facing camera comedy?
Front-facing camera comedy. And I find myself getting into traps where I'm like, I start pitching stuff like that at work and I'm like, this isn't work worthy. Like, I can't get paid money to pitch a TikTok basically. But yeah, it's really hard to kind of sustain a culture wherein culture is being kind of like boiled down on the internet.
And
This
is part of the reason we wanted to have this conversation with people who make art in the city, because sometimes the location and the purpose of the location can get a little bit lost. And sometimes it can be purposely harnessed in order for you to make the art that you make. And so I got time for one more question, which is like given the thing that the premise we set up at the start, right? Like Halifax really does have this incredible reputation for being a cultural hub. And it seems like it's almost a victim of its own success in some ways, because then artists end up moving out or saying, I don't think I can stick around in this place. But as artists who want to do more than just survive here, what needs to happen for you to thrive in the city and in this place? Maybe Adam, I'll start with you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no pressure, dude.
I don't know. I just think that the challenge I think that we've run into as a society is that our media, our radio stations, the news, it's all been gobbled up by these conglomerates. And so we just lost our, 5 o'clock sort of local magazine show from one of the other networks here on television. And that was an important thing, I think, to a lot of people.
Sure.
And it's gone because some giant company in Toronto said we lost a couple thousand bucks or something.
Yeah.
And so the more that gets stripped and pulled into the center of Canada, then I think we are we're worse off for it. So I do try to kind of make things about where I'm from. I still think they're universal. These stories could happen anywhere, but I like where I live. I'm proud of this place for all of its many faults. But that's being pulled away from us, and to save a few dollars. And I'd love to see that not happen anymore. I just feel like it might be a little too far gone.
Mm-hmm. Let me put this to you, Tara.
I would also say funding is a huge thing.
Sure.
I heard now this is not like an audit, but I heard that Canada Council is down to like a 10% approval rate at this point, and Arts Nova Scotia is at 15%. It's not enough.
Government, you mean 10% of like applications?
Success. Yeah, getting funded.
Okay.
Yeah. There's so few places to actually get support. And so what happens is, you know, you get a little bit of a scrap and you get, you know, and then, you know, you do voiceover in your spare time.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Abba?
I think that there needs to be more community as well. Like, I don't know, coming out of the lockdown of the pandemic and having to make art has felt really weird. Like, a lot of people have moved back to their respective cities that they were born and raised in because they can't afford the city. And a lot of the venues that I used to go to just don't exist anymore. I've heard, like, ghost stories about the venues that used to exist in Halifax, like people waxing poetic about stuff that doesn't exist anymore. And I'm like, well, where are people going to convene other than TikTok? There needs to be more of a robust cultural, not just center, but centers, like more niche places as well. I remember coming into a culture that was so robust with like so many specific places that I could go to, queer spaces to do comedy, or just like a regular comedy space or a coffee shop that was like, let's do a comedy night.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing that as much anymore. And it's really scary because then people with a lot of money can just throw on whatever crappy show they want to do. And then it eats up our culture. And funding, like people need money. Like you were saying, people need money to do these things or else the conglomerates gobble everything up. And the fear of a conservative government that's looming, like that feels like hell, that our art scenes could be completely wiped away because there's just no money coming in.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Maggie, I've saved you for last because I feel like you are the counter narrative here in a sense.
And I don't, because
youthful energy, let's say.
Hey, I do. I agree with all three of those points as well.
Of course. But I don't mean to put you in a separate camp here. What I'm trying to say, though, is that like, you're like, okay, the world is making this kind of art. Let's meet it on its terms and actually just do it even better than they're doing it. And for you, that is not necessarily tied to place. That's sort of tied to being like, what's the conversation that everybody's having and here's what we can contribute to it. So how do you see yourself as kind of different in this way?
There are so many people here who support what I do.
Yeah.
But if I really want to find those like audiences and those collaborators and people, it's like they don't live here.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I've thrived here and now I'm like spreading my wings and I just feel like it's important as an artist to not limit yourself to a box or limit yourself to being comfortable. You got to get uncomfortable to like figure it out.
When you were describing LA, I could tell that Adam was like, I'm very proud of you, but I'm very tired just hearing all of this.
Yeah. Stressed out already.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Maybe it's the place to leave it, Adam, to get any advice as Maggie sort of takes on this leg of the journey.
Nobody wants my advice.
I think
I'll take it.
Whatever one must do to make the very best art and represent their vision as best they can, whatever that person needs to do, that's what I suggest doing.
Mm-hmm.
Serve your art. Don't serve economics. We got enough people doing that are ruining everything. So serve your art. That's the only advice I've got for anybody.
Tell us how you really feel, pal. Tell us. I'm grateful for you and for your honesty. I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you so much for being here, Adam, Tara, Abba, and Maggie. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
All my pleasure. Adam Baldwin, Tara Thorne, Abba Amokwandu, and Maggie Andrew, they're all artists with a deep connection to Halifax, Nova Scotia. That is where we recorded that conversation. And also a massive thank you to Mary Catherine McIntosh, our colleague in Halifax, who helped pull all of this together. The team in CBC Nova Scotia is absolutely incredible. That is it for this special edition of Commotion. Remember, you can listen to any episode of this show anytime you like, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, find us on Instagram. We are at Commotion CBC. My name is Al-Amin Abdul-Mahmoud. Hey, see you later.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.